Good morning. Thank you for listening to the show. This is where you go. You've gone for 98 years. Not all of you. Maybe a couple. But Pensacola has come to find out what's happening in Pensacola and get the story behind the headlines. One of the big headlines over the weekend was a triple homicide in Myrtle Grove. We've got Sheriff Chip Simmons here. I thought the press conference was informative. You've asked for help. What's the latest that y'all know about this that you can tell us?
I mentioned before we had a couple of cars that we've seized, but just because we seize a car doesn't mean it's the car that's the suspect vehicle. We have to make sure that we have a wide perimeter and we get all the evidence that we can to catch it, and then we'll bring the perimeter in and we'll isolate different things, eliminate some things. So where are we at? We're still asking the public for help if they have information on who may have done it, where they may be, where the evidence may be. We are still checking neighborhoods because our real-time crime center is still new to the game. We haven't reached every community, so we're asking if people have any kind of video surveillance that we can take a look at. We do have some. We are getting some tips from Crime Stoppers, but we want to make sure that we get more tips. That way, we can cross-reference all these tips and get the right suspect. So we have an idea of some people that might be responsible. We have not yet able to pinpoint one or two specific suspects, and are certainly not willing to name them yet.
Well, and you mentioned that it looked, and the way you described it, it was an ambush, it was targeted, it was execution. And then you talk about retaliation, and you and I know, we were talking off air, is that we've had groups go after each other for years sometimes. And over, it's drugs, it's guns, it's somebody kills somebody's family, and it's hard to pin down. And we've got those clusters, whether you want to call them, they're families, maybe neighborhood gangs, but this is a lifestyle that they don't worry about themselves getting killed.
You mentioned it. This is not the first year that we've seen something
right.
We 2 years ago, I did six or eight different roundtable discussions and trying to let people know this is what's taking place. Because if you have a problem, you need to be able to identify what the problem is first before you can look up solutions to me. So I told them, this is who's doing the shootings typically. These are the victims typically, and nothing's changed in that. These are young males. Young black males that are killing young black males. That's statistically what's taking place. And that has not changed here locally, and that's been going on for at least since the 80s. We had quadruple homicides back in the 80s over crack cocaine. And I'm not saying that we should become accustomed to this, because we most certainly should not. That's why we're talking about it. We're talking about it because this should not be the norm. You mentioned that these are people that are willing to die for this. And that's the mentality we need to get in there and break that that level of thinking. And that's why we have programs like the Blazer Academy and different mentorship programs. We actually had a homicide last night, and we're looking at see if it's a rather quick retaliation for the three that took place over the weekend. But again, this is something that we're always concerned about. Anytime we have a single homicide, we always work with the Pensacola Police Department. We work with each other and say, hey, just so you know, this is what's taking place, so be on the lookout. There might be some people running around, cruising around. And as you also know, we do a lot more pit maneuvers on stolen cars because we believe that they're stealing cars.
Right,
and doing
you've talked
this,
about
this
that
sort
before.
Of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if anyone ever asked why we're bumping cars and spinning cars, is because these are the things that take place if we just let them run the streets.
Yeah, and the usually, having done this for 25 years, when I see a murder here and a murder there, having three in one place is takes it to another level. Like we, like you said, we hadn't seen it since the Miami boys over on the west side too. Right. That we haven't seen anything in this magnitude that was at a street level like this, and so it's. It's frightening. People have a right to be concerned about their safety, and y'all need help. And Crime Stoppers is a way to go that people can give you information, and there are ways that you can upload it right now, right? So there's a lot of ways to give data to y'all.
Absolutely, and we never ask your name. You'll never have to appear in court. In fact, we will not let you give your name. So call them. If you care about your community, quite frankly, if you have information, if you care about the lives of these people that that may be involved in this, maybe they're involved, maybe they're on the periphery, and if you really want to protect them and to save their lives, if you really care about them and you know something, just give ComStoppers a call, because if they're in jail, they're not hurting and killing people. And that's ultimately what takes place, is that individuals go to jail or individuals are killed. And it has its moments. You mentioned the Miami boys from back in my day.
Right,
you know,
right.
That took place. Someone asked me when the last time we've had two or three. Well, unfortunately, we have two a lot. Murder suicides happen quite frequently. We have had family related twos and threes, doubles and triple homicides. Hartung, I think, was a triple. But it is rare. It is rare, and it's something that we're very, very concerned with. That's why that's why we did a press conference to tell people this is what we're doing. We have every available investigator. Because I want the community to know that we're doing what we can. We need you to tell us what you know, and we also need you to say enough is enough.
Well, when it starts to take off, then there's collateral damage. There are people, we've had young men who were in the wrong car at the wrong time and got shot. We've seen that happen. We've seen young children get over near Pensacola High School. I remember there was a shooting in a neighborhood and a young girl got hit that had nothing to do with it. It was not involved in any part of it.
I think the Platinum Club, they had one there too.
So it the collateral damage. And then, of course, we had the huge, I think you were the police department at the time, the huge chase that went down Cervantes and hit the telephone pole outside the McDonald's, and people are shooting and running around. This is the only way we can get it off the street, because somebody's going to get hurt that's an innocent in this process.
Yeah, the thought is that there are people that think, oh, these guys are doing drugs and doing this and that, and they understand the risks. And you kind of alluded to the fact of some of the mentality that some of these may have. And I'm not painting a wide brush. I'm not saying everyone does that. But there are... there are times. Again, I was also a police chief at Pensacola Village. Had a young 3-year-old, Tykeen Douglas, was killed, and he was certainly not the intended victim. And someone by the name of Pine Straw was the murderer in that case. But there are times when if we continue to do this, that there will be some collateral damage, as you mentioned.
Right, exactly. Now, one thing that y'all are doing to try to counter this. It's been the Blazer Academy, and last night y'all had another graduation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we had our 6th male Blazer Academy. Our female Blazer Academy filled up in about 2 days, so we'll have that one starting in June. But we graduated our 6th class last night. We went to First Baptist Church because the Sango was busy.
Right.
It was just a good turnout, actually. Parents and friends were there. The applause, the pride that in the parents and the pride in our employees that put on the program. And then we actually walked downtown. We had a longer walk than we normally would. We walked all the way from First Baptist Church, which is about 0.7 miles, to the Global Grill.
You knew exactly what it was. I mean, Ronnie Rivera had
it was down.
He met you there.
Yeah.
No,
but I mean, and the weather's not terrible. It's not July or August
right,
yet.
Exactly.
So it worked out pretty well. But to see the pride in the kids' faces, to know that they're, first of all, they looked like $1 million.
Yeah.
And then secondly, all the people that are come by, and some of them are applauding them as they come by there. And it's, makes them think that they're special, like they have accomplished something, like they're, they're on their way. And so we got down to Global Grill and we did a toast. And then, yesterday, before I get down to the toast, we had an individual. One of our students says, "Hey, I want to say something." This was before we got to First Baptist. I said, "Okay, what do you want to say?"
All right.
He says, "I just want to talk about the program and how much I appreciate it." Of course you can. So he gets up there and does a fantastic job talking about some of the things that we've learned. Week one, we did this. Week two, and I don't know if he's prepared for it. I really don't know. It was a spur of the moment or whatever. But he did a good job, because it seemed like it was from the heart. And it, to know that you are having an impact is really why we do this, because it's a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. The Escambia County Sheriff Foundation puts the bill for this, and I think that it's obviously a good program, and it's the 6th one. So we've had about an average of 30 kids in each one. So if you think about that, continue to multiply this, and then again, we start our 3rd female academy in about a month. We have one more male academy later this summer, so pay attention to our social media platforms if you're interested. It may be the best thing that we do.
Well, it's good for your team too, for them to connect, and you know, I think it's got to be. It always seems to be.
It is, and you know, I think that there's a value to telling our story.
Right.
You know, we all have our own stories, right? Everyone has some cautionary tales. Everyone's done some things that they probably wish that they had not done. And I think that the value here in having it at the sheriff's office or having law enforcement teaches that we know what we've done. We can talk about our experiences, but we can also talk about what we've seen and what, you know. And I'm not stealing other people's stories, but we're like, you know what, this happened. You could do this dating violence, and then this happened.
Right.
You know, and these are things that I think are very, very good. I think Hassan Hill's story is a very good story for us. Certainly a story for me, because he was funny about Hassan Hill's. Those are now, I know you're cut your
No, we're fine.
Right, but Hassan Hill's was sentenced to life in prison for drugs, and then for good fortune, two presidents interfered and commuted a sentence, and he was out. His wife and he both were sentenced to life in prison, so he could still be in jail right now. But instead, he's at our Blazer Academy talking to these kids about mistakes that he's made along the way. And his first mistake, according to him, was getting caught by a young Pensacola police officer named Chip Simmons. So he was passing around yesterday. He was passing around a copy of the arrest report, and I just, you know, just shaking my head at where he's come.
Right.
And if you ask young Chip Simmons, the young narcotics officer eager to save the world, if he would be sharing a stage with this drug dealer that's you know,
reformed.
I think that now doing such a great job, I would say you're crazy. You know,
right.
There's no way that, first of all, that Chip Simmons would be in a position to do any of that.
Right.
And secondly, that Hassan Hills would be in a position to do all of that. So, in fact, his wife is going to talk to the female Blazer Academy, because she also was sentenced to life in prison. And a lot of times, you know, I'm a male, so I know this. A lot of times the females are kind of caught up in it,
right.
You know, and you know, as part of it, only because they're pushed into it by a boyfriend or husband or whatever.
Right.
And so I want her to have a conversation with the young ladies during the class and, you know, be aware of this. Don't put yourself in this situation. And you know what? I understand it's not going to work 100%. I understand that sometimes kids will hear it out of one ear and out the other, as my parents would say. But you know, we can try. And I told these kids last night, I said, I've talked to each and every one of you and said, you can make a mark in this community. You can make a difference in this community. I said, so from now on, for the rest of your life, you can't say no one's ever told you can succeed. Because I've told them personally that they can succeed. The whole program is designed to tell them that they can succeed. Just giving them a little bit of pathways. We're not taking away from the academic environment of the schools, but it's different. We're not taking away from the youth programs, sports programs, because I'm involved in those as well.
Right.
This is a little bit different. This is a little bit different level. It's solely flexible and solely based upon what they need to be a young man.
Well, and we know at that age, boys and girls are looking for role models, and role models outside their family. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean that they love their parents less, but you look for role models,
right?
And this is what y'all are offering.
Well, I don't even know if they're looking for what if they know.
Well, they don't even know
for
it.
But all they know is and sometimes they don't think they want advice. And you could see in the first day they're like at their head down a little bit.
Right.
I'm like, you know, my parents forced me to come here. I'll do it, like everything else. And then after a while, you know, they become more engaged. They become they're applauding each other. They're encouraging each other. They're again, to see them as they get better and better clothes. I know it seems odd, but better and better clothes. And their confidence build is just really rewarding.
Oh, that's great, Chip. Thank you for coming in. I think we've covered a lot today. I appreciate it.